Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
This is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
What episode number is it, babe?
This is episode number 69, y'all.
So y'all know we about to talk about something gross today.
We really not, though.
No. This is going to be a wholesome episode.
But then
life know how
happened,
life works.
Then 69 happened. We was like, damn. We missed
That's okay.
our chance.
We're going to have episode 669 at some point.
So this is episode 69, how Randy got her groove back. But before we get started, I'll tell y'all what that's all about. We thank you again for enjoying our indie episodes.
Yes.
And for sending in questions. Please continue to submit questions because the indie episodes are going to keep happening. And
also, we are coming up on our family dinner episodes.
Yeah.
In which we will also answer questions.
And feedback.
Together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, please send in like your feedback and your questions and we will answer them. Big shout out to our Patreon supporters. Happy birthday to Nikki. Nikki B or Nikki Ellis.
Nikki B, that's fam.
She's two places. You got two different names, Nikki, but we know who you are. Your birthday is October 15th. And so we're giving you an early shout out. Yeah, Libra. Giving you an early shout out because we won't be recording, obviously, on that day. And also, happy anniversary, Alicia Brown, October 18th. And happy anniversary, Ty, October 12th.
Happy anniversary, Ty.
Yeah.
Ty had a message.
Yeah, they've been married for 2 years and her message says, Trey, I'm going to love your ass for life. I think that's sweet. Short, to the point, and it encompasses everything.
I'm laughing with you and the joy in which your marriage shares.
Happy anniversary, y'all. Happy anniversary, Alicia.
And happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Nikki.
We appreciate you. Thank you for your patronage.
Thank you for your patronage, yes. All right, y'all. So y'all know the drill. Call to action. Please be sure to check out our website at www.blackmillennialmarriage.com. We are now and still and always available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and more. Rate us. Please, y'all. 5 stars, please. 5 stars only. We've been saying that. But we got our first 3-star, y'all.
Our first hater.
Mikey, stop.
And I'm curious. I am curious.
Mikey.
On how you found us. Heard up to this point and decided to keep hating.
Maybe they skipped around.
Hmm.
Maybe just to some people, we are a 3-star rating. That's fine. Find your people, please. But for the other people who love us, please continue to rate us 5 stars.
Yes.
And share us with your people.
But see, this is why my Lyft average was 4.98 when I retired. Because of shit like this. That 1 4-star.
This is a 3-star. C's get degrees.
They do.
So you know what? Thank you.
We are not a C.
Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_the_Chapmans.
Leave us a voicemail, y'all, at 770-750-4098.
That's 770-750-4098.
And also, y'all, don't forget the relationship horror stories.
Yes, it's October.
It's October, and we're going to do this one more again.
This is our version of, like, Treehouse of Horror. So, like, send us things.
Yeah, so we have a few voicemails already. We would love more. You can also send us crazy horror stories you see on the internet. You know, you can just, that can be your easy way out. So, please send us horror stories.
Relationship horror stories. Don't forget them.
That's going to be what our last episode of October. Mm-hmm. Before our break, y'all. Y'all know we going on break soon. It's time for that rest period. So we want to leave on like a fun note.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have some listener feedback. We don't have an email because we're saving some of these emails for our family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Cause y'all really enjoyed those episodes, that episode. And so we're going to do it again, but we do have a voicemail and we're going to play it before we get into this episode.
We hope you enjoy.
Nikki from South Carolina. I am listening to episode 59 and I just finished listening to the engagement piece. So why did I get married? So I part of the reason would definitely be because that's what I know. My mom and stepdad have been married as long as I can remember and they have the most beautiful marriage. I've never heard them raise their voice at each other in my life. And I was in college and I was a true advocate for, I don't love these hoes, I ain't never gonna get married. If you knew me in college, oh God. So I met my husband at Valdosta State University. I realized that I wanted to spend my life with someone, and I wanted to do it in what, in my mind, was the right way. I wanted to live my life with my kids eventually, and us all having the same name. I married him because he's literally my best friend. I wanted to be married because I wanted to joke on somebody every single day, and you can't leave me because you're joking on each other, because you married me, and now you're stuck with me forever. So that was a really quick voicemail. That's why I got married. He's my best friend. I couldn't imagine doing life without him in it. Y'all have a great day. Hear y'all next episode. Bye.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm so with my seeds, like. Now check it out.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you. I feel you.
Great.
You're not supposed to love these hoes in college. You're not. None of these hoes supposed to get any love. And you was on the right track.
Here you are.
I was 11 on these hoes in college.
Oh.
I was just 11 one hoe.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got that hoe pregnant.
Anyway.
I got a podcast with the hoes.
Wait, shut up. Thank you,
said
Nikki.
That was from episode 55?
59.
59.
Why
Thank
do millennials
you.
Fall in love, I believe. That's
Thank
the one.
Thank you for going back and like answering the engagement pieces.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
You're the best. All right, y'all. And obviously, congrats to you and your husband for like getting married and
yes,
making it work through college, because we know.
Yeah. 100 years to y'all.
All right.
Unless you don't want to do it.
Shut up, Mike. All right, y'all. So this is episode 69.
Ooh, what we talk about, babe?
How Randy got her groove back. Y'all, it feels so weird to be leading this. It's my lead because
I'm
last
excited.
Episode was Mikey's.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it feels weird. Anyway,
what we talk about, babe?
You didn't even put it
because we never talked about what we're gonna talk about.
Mike,
we didn't talk about it. So from the heart, what are you thinking?
I got a job, y'all.
Woo!
I got a full time job.
Woo!
And I'm going back to work.
Is that too many high-pitched poos?
And, yeah.
Ooh.
Dude, I really hate she ain't putting nothing here. But you did well the other part. You did.
So, we never said.
But this is your role. You supposed to make sure we say. You have production notes for the past 2 years. And Mikey loves on the production notes, y'all. But every time we get on here, it's always something. Why are you blinking at me?
Because I just want to celebrate my wife.
Babe, thank you. I love you. I'm excited. So, yeah, we're going to talk
about. I'm proud of you. What you mean you got a job?
I do.
What
we're
going to
talk about that whole thing. I got a job.
What does that mean?
That I have, what do you mean?
You have employment?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We talked about this on a couple episodes and like how somebody gets sexier after they get a job.
Did we?
And he was already sexy.
Was I?
Yeah. And you said I got sexier after I got my job.
You did. I mean, mainly because you were also back home.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I could actually see you and see that you were still sexy.
I'm just thinking of all the gifts you're going to give me. And it's so sexy.
We'll wrap it up with a fight or flight. And end it with some always appreciated PDA. Before we get into this episode, we do have a love story that was sent to us by one of our listeners, Charnel.
Yes.
And Mikey's gonna take it from here.
Thank you so much, first of all, for sending in this story, because it kind of saved me. I was going to do a different story, but that story went left
it
when
went
I got to the
left.
End of it. So here we go. The title of this one is He's 103, She's 100, and they just celebrated 82 years of marriage.
Wow.
All of those numbers are gross.
Yeah.
Let's find out why.
Let's say marriage makes men live longer or helps men live longer.
Yeah.
Because y'all out here making more responsible choices. Anyway, go ahead.
Is that what you think it is?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's because we like wake up every day and be like, I want to make sure I outlive her.
And you have
y'all
to communicate.
Long.
So like you, like the things that would kill you if you weren't, I did. I just, I did hear you. I'm acknowledging that I heard you. But I raise you one and Got I you. Say.
Oh.
That it's because y'all are forced to communicate, get therapy, go to the doctor's office, and look at you, 103.
And you think that's what Willie and DW did.
Go ahead.
Willie and DW Williams have a lot of life and a lot of love under their belts. On Sunday, DW, 103, and Willie, 100. Ah, cradle robber.
Mikey, shut up.
She's older. Celebrated not only their birthdays.
They're both a century.
That's true. They celebrated not only their birthdays, which are just 7 days apart, but a staggering 82 years of marriage. So they married their own son and stayed that way for 82 years.
Wow.
They must be Pisces. According to WSOC-TV, their daughter and granddaughter, BJ Williams Green, marked the trifecta of milestones by throwing the, I didn't even know this was right, centurion?
Just chair.
I skipped over this when I first read through it. A couple, one big party at First Mayfield Memorial Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
To see them at this age and still doing well, it's just a blessing to have them here, Williams Green told local news station. DW and Willie said that they remember meeting when cab rides were 10 cents.
Wow.
Together they lived through wars, the Depression, and the Civil Rights era. But when it comes to keeping their love alive for the better part of a century, they told WSOC-TV, I like how they slipped their name in there, that there's really no big secret. Just be nice to each other. They agreed. Mm. They are each other's best friends, added Williams Green. And that's it.
Oh, y'all, kindness really does impact.
It's simple, man. It's how you like, we it's keep not hearing simple, this.
But
no, it's, like it's the concept.
Yeah,
is a simple one.
It's no other
being kind
of,
to each other and doing what it takes to get to that point and finding out what that means is what is how you last.
Wow, that's beautiful, babe. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Speaking of kindness, let me again start us off by saying, one, I am extremely proud of my wife for this job.
Thank you.
It is the first thing that she has outright said that she's wanted in a long time, and I'm very, very happy that you got it. I knew you got it when you got the interview.
Ugh.
I was very clear on that.
He was.
And you can admit.
I mean, he was clear on that, but
I was clear that you got it when you had the interview.
Mike.
Was I or was I not?
You said that I did, yes.
Okay. So for the last couple interviews. Episodes, this is the thing I wanted to talk about. Randy was on an interview and I just wanted to tell everybody, I know she about to get it. So we getting ready to celebrate her. And that's what it was. But,
I am not pregnant.
I love you. No,
there
you're not
pregnant.
There is
nothing else happening.
Unfortunately, we are still in the Batcave. There is no new house, in the works. I did not get a $1 billion job yet.
Not yet. But
did
he
get
is
a lead today.
Yeah.
But no, we are here to celebrate the greatness that is the black woman, that is the love of my life, that is my wife.
Thanks, babe. This is so weird. What am I supposed to do? You
talk.
I can't lead this.
Talk.
So this section, so into the main topic, Mikey put, Randy is that nigga. That's probably why we got 3 stars. That's probably why we got somebody was like,
why?
Y'all say nigga too much. Y'all cuss too much. 3 stars, niggas. But no.
Okay. I'll take
it. We really shouldn't. We really, y'all, I just watched the Blackish episode. I'm so behind before y'all start cussing me out.
Which episode?
I'm on the N-word.
We saw that together.
No, I can remember.
I
so
like
I rewatched.
The last one we saw was the Mike Barbara Brown one.
The one that, no. The
I
one,
specifically haven't watched it
the
since.
The last one I saw was the haircut one. Where he wouldn't leave his barber.
That's an old, old one.
I'm so behind, but I'm committed to completely catching up, starting Mixed-ish, and finishing Grown-ish.
Okay.
I'm committed. It might take this year and next, but I'm going to do it because I need to get back to like my shows. Anyway.
Yes, ma'am.
So y'all got a J-O-B, new career path number 2. So Mikey put this why. It's not necessarily a new career path.
New meaning the second person in his marriage
to get
to start on a new career path.
But it's not a new career path. It's the career path that I've been trying to get on. And that's not what you said in the production meeting. You said I was the second person to
start on a career path. So your original goal was to be a published writer.
Yeah.
Now you're working in publishing.
Yeah.
On top of wanting to be, that's a new career.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
That part. Yeah.
I mean, I think I see what you're saying. This is, to me, it feels like the first job. It feels like my first job.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
That's what I mean. But
okay. Like the job I'm excited about.
Yes,
job
ma'am.
That
this
like,
is the first step on a new path.
Yes, but it's still, you're right. I mean, we'll get into that. I think I'm confused because my intention is still the same. The only difference
is, the path going to lead back to what the goal was regardless, but it's a different route.
Yeah, the goal was to be a published novelist. I am a published writer, but the goal was like to do books. We ain't there yet though, but that's okay.
But,
so anyway.
So the first part that we're going to get into is what happened?
Yeah, we haven't had sex. That's why we sound all discombobulated. This baby's sick. It's weird over
Drew
here.
Drew over here bouncing around in my lap. She ripping off my chain. I just gave it to her. I don't know what you want from me. I gave you my gold.
She's
I
tired.
Gave you all that I have.
She's tired, Daddy. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so let's get started.
Okay.
What happened, Randy? There has been months of episodes of
years.
Work struggles, yeah. Life struggles, new baby struggles. There's been a whole bunch of things happening. There has been no mention of Randy even
looking
for a job. So why did you start looking?
Well, there were a few things. Are you laughing? Why?
I'm happy.
There were a few things about why I started looking. There have been a few things. So the first thing, really, the main thing was watching Mikey's process. Actually, it's two things. It was realizing the type of marriage we have / watching Mikey's process. So y'all know that Mikey left his career in nonprofit education because it was no longer serving him and it was hard to serve his students poor. You know, like it was mm-hmm. just the cons were starting to outweigh the pros. It was taking a toll on him, on our marriage, all those things. And so he made a career shift into coding and software engineering and web development. And that was, and I had a special seat outside of just a listener who's listening to the podcast or even recording the podcast. I had a special seat into this process and it was encouraging and it was really brave. And it got me thinking about my intention and about my life and in a different way that I've ever considered it before. I think that in the beginning, when I first wanted to write, it was to do it as a service. You know, I want to contribute. I want to be taken seriously. I want when someone Googles me that it pops up and shows that I've dedicated my life to language and literature and publishing. But when life started to happen and when I got let go, my intention shifted to I need to write this book so I can get an advance so I can save my family. And once that intention became impure, I believe that's when things started to really fall apart for me. And
career wise, work wise.
Yes. Yes. And I think that God knew that too, because I have on my desk, I have five things to remember, and one of those things is God doesn't forget. And that was for me to say, God doesn't forget the wishes that we wanted or the prayers that we prayed when we were kids. And my prayer, like I said, when I was a kid, my intention was set on longevity and making an impact and doing the work. And so essentially, somewhere between it, like I said, it got blurred, and your process really brought that to my attention on top of me just not having any money. This is deeper than vulnerability for me. It's not trusting Mike to be able to provide, because he's proven that. He did live for 3 years. He did the extra work. He endured the jobs he hated to make sure the family was good, on top of obviously the times that I was working. So it wasn't a concern about whether you could provide. It was also me just realizing that we are not the type of couple where only one of us can work.
What do you mean by that?
I think it takes a toll on our marriage. I don't think that we're the type of couple where one person can work traditionally or even have this steady check while the other takes care of the home, in that sense, or the podcast, because we started the podcast as a couple and it wasn't my thing. And I brought it to you and you were okay. It was okay, we're going to recommit to this, because it changed after we lost the first baby and we realized we still wanted to do it. But a lot of the bulk of that work fell on me, because you had to do everything else. You had to provide financially, do the coding program. And then Drew got here. So then I became really the essential caregiver in the home during that time. But now she's in daycare. So it's everybody has their thing, right? And mama's at home on the podcast. Podcast done. What am I doing? So it was a combination of things about why I started looking. But those were the main things. And I just think that, like I said, we've talked about this, but really for me, the toll that it was taking on our marriage for all that labor to fall on you was not good. It's not good, in my opinion.
Yeah. There's something I'd like to add on to that. I think that it's your time.
Thanks.
I know you know what I mean. I haven't said that to you.
You haven't. That's why I'm okay.
There's a trend that you and I are aware of, and I don't know, maybe other married people or people in relationships get it too. But when you're together long enough, sometimes it's the other person's turn, to go through the storms, to do their thing, to shine, whatever the case may be. I have went through a lot, both separately and with you, after the first pregnancy, before that, with my job loss, with your job loss, with like everything, like we've just been like going back and forth with our turn on the downside of things.
Okay.
If I'm making sense. Mm-hmm. And like me taking on this program and trying something new to like, to better, for the betterment of like our family was like my thing that I had to do. And now I think this is like your turn to do your thing. And I just want to like support that. Me and Drew, we just want to like, I don't know. Y'all, we've been cheering for Randy. We're just happy for her.
Yeah, thank
because
you.
It's you should be celebrated. You've not worked traditionally for a while.
15 months, 16 months.
We'll dive into the depths of that in a minute. But this is, I don't know. I think that, one, I love your attitude surrounding the whole thing. I'm going to support you no matter what. And we're going to find balance with everything no matter what. But I just kind of, you know, it's just nice to see you step into like your
thing. Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks, babe. I really appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so also...
I also really like your outfits from your interview.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very buffable.
What was I supposed to say? I was going to say... What was I trying to say? I was also trying to say that, like I said, I've said it during my PDAs, but again, like your process and your bravery really encouraged me. And another thing that happened that was like, okay, Randy, okay. It's time to find work. We had a bill that it just wasn't getting paid,
y'all.
Is like,
this the last straw for you? Was this really like...
That was the last straw.
That was the last straw?
Because at this point, y'all want like... And my mom, when we sent the message, the group message to the family about Mikey's new job, we thought that the responses were like not as hype as we were. Not in terms of like, oh, okay. It was... Everybody was happy because everybody knows, but... Don't nobody know, no. And I know that people who are in a couple, in relationships or who are married get it. Don't nobody know like your spouse or your partner. But we was over here celebrating, not necessarily physically, but like just like verbally and vocally with each other. But like in the message thread, everybody was like, hooray and congrats. But it wasn't like, no, y'all need to be coming over here and we need to be doing a praise dance. And my mom was like, because we're pretty stoic when we talk about what it's been. I didn't realize that to other people, like to some people, we come off as stoic as like, oh, it's not as bad as it is. Like she was like, a lot of people don't understand the gravity of what, of how
because
bad.
Because I'm not always trying to illustrate the gravity issue to people. Cause
I'm not, no, it's not a bad thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's just, that is who we are. Cause we're not trying to make it seem like one, we want you to like come save us.
Or
we're not trying
us,
to
yeah.
make people feel worse about what our situation is. But you know, I used the word dire in my email. I was like, we are in a dire straits. A nigga said dire straits.
Yeah. We were, so that was the last straw. That bill was the last straw because, y'all, there was nothing Mikey could do. There was nothing I could do, obviously. It wasn't going to happen. And we can't pay not nobody back. We can't. Like, we just can't. And that, so after that, and we talked about that briefly. Mikey went to his corner. I went to my corner and I was like, okay, God, for real. Tell me what you want me to do. I'm going to do it.
And then I got a job.
I'm going to do it.
In my corner, I got a job.
Mikey got his job and God was like, you need to get back on LinkedIn. I said, cool. I can't find none of my pictures. I chose this picture from 2014. I still look the same. Cool. I got the picture from 2014.
No, you're not going to gloss over that. Y'all, it's 2019. It's about to be 2020.
Yeah.
Randy, you chose a picture from 2014.
I looked the same.
Exact same picture.
I looked the exact same.
I was
like, okay. Because I can't find vampire. Because y'all, after I lost that last job, what I said, I deleted everything. I deleted my LinkedIn. I said, when y'all see me again, I'm gonna be in Oprah's book club. Mm-hmm. Fuck all y'all. Mm-hmm. And I was gonna disappear my way into the book club list.
Got you.
That obviously didn't work. Okay. So I was like, okay, guy, get back on LinkedIn. I don't know why. Actually, I didn't know why by this point. I was like, okay, fine. Then guy was like, get on Indeed. I said, okay. And I searched what I searched, dealing with publishing. Mm-hmm. And I did it because I had heard you talk about how like you did the program, but you couldn't really learn it or use it in the way that other people have because your baby had just been born. And then when class is over, you're driving Lyft. But now you're in a space where you're earning this money, all this money, and also in a space to learn it. So I was like, Randy, you need to get back to a learning phase.
Mm-hmm.
So I typed in what God told me to. Yeah, I promise you. I felt led by the Spirit. I was like,
this
fine.
Part might irritate some of our listeners.
That's fine. I don't know what to tell you. That's just what happened.
I'm just putting it out there.
That's what happened.
So, Randy, how many jobs did you search and apply for before you found this one?
One. It popped up first. I read it. I said, this is it. It said to send a cover letter and resume.
Some old bullshit.
I updated my resume.
Some bullshit.
I updated my cover letter. It's great bullshit. I wrote my cover letter in 30 minutes. Mm. Read it out loud to myself. Mm-hmm. Finished it. Mm. Sent it. Actually, mm-hmm. I scheduled it because I thought it'd be weird to get an email from somebody at night. So I scheduled it to go out the next morning.
That would have been weird.
This was September 20th, y'all. Mm-hmm. And it went out. And I said, okay.
And when did you get your offer?
A few days ago.
Gotcha. So less than 30 days.
Yeah.
Far less than 30 days. And you applied to one job.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got it immediately.
Yeah, because also we're not in the business of just taking any job anymore. And me and Guy are in cahoots. So we're not in the business of just taking any job, I chose this job to apply for because it excited me. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any relief, like, oh my God. You know, it excited me. I just felt so happy. And I was like, okay, God, that's the one. Fine.
I want you to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
I was going to have a question about that, but I changed it. But I do want you to like share that part. Coming from what we come from and doing the work that we've done, we've always been in a space where like jobs are like, well, you just got to work because bills.
Right.
So you just got to accept whatever.
Right.
And so like jobs are hard. Your team ain't always great. You just got to deal with whatever.
And die
Everybody
here.
Don't love the work they do. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And after your last job, and especially after my last job, that was just not our approach anymore.
Yeah.
Like it is possible for you to like your workspace, to like the people you work with, and to seek something that is actually a good fit for you so that you can enjoy the work that you do. Especially because so many new places, especially for like millennials, are a lot more welcoming to us.
Yeah.
Like, look, you got to be here all day. So we don't want it to be shitty for you.
Right. And employers are getting training on how to do better. Mm-hmm. Brene Brown talks about it all the time. People fly her out and be like, look, we need to retain employees. What are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
Like, y'all lacking empathy. Y'all not paying them enough. There's no healthcare. It's screwed up. You know, things like that.
Like,
so
who were we talking to when they were talking about, like, the perks of their job? They was like, yeah, we have this, and we also get checks. Like, it was...
CeCe.
Okay, yeah. So, that was one of them.
Yeah.
I think maybe Jeff, too.
Oh, yeah. It was like, and Jeff.
Like, they have all these benefits. We have, you know, they have the happy hours and the other stuff,
free lunches.
But they have like, oh yeah, catered lunch every week.
But they also
got
maternity leave. They paying for adoption services.
Maternity.
They got
maternity.
Pet care. Mm-hmm. Like there are ways to take care of your employees to retain them and like and still make sure your job is done. And so I knew that I wasn't just going to apply for any old job.
Also, real quick, again, back to the mentality. I think a lack of understanding that you have access to those positions is one thing. People are qualified for more than they think they are qualified for.
Exactly.
But they're not searching. We weren't looking for what we were looking for then, you know?
Right. And one, not only did we not have access to the information, but also, and I talked about this in my indie, I didn't think I was deserving. So once that mindset changed, I didn't apply for this job till it dawned on me that I was deserving and worthy of like good shit. And so like it was a trickle effect.
Same.
That eventually I was, so by the time that I've accepted that I deserve this, I deserve to be happy.
And you had it and done. Like it was.
Yeah. So I chose one job. Mm-hmm. I looked, but I was like, no, I'm not applying.
The way you said I looked.
I mean, I kind of like scrolled through the rest of the list that popped up, but I was this it. I said, I listened. So I was excited. It wasn't relief. I was excited to see this job. I was excited to apply. Like I said, I did it all in one night and I scheduled it off. I heard back and.
Let's just dive into the process.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I heard back from the company, and they were like, hey, got your cover letter, got your resume based off your background and your skills.
We need you.
We would like to call you.
They tried to play it cool.
This call would take between 15 and 20 minutes. We're going to give you some info about the job and the company, and then we're going to ask you one question. And the question was, why does it make sense for you to have this job right now? And so they gave me the question beforehand, so I had,
and
like,
you came home with that question and you told me,
but the gag is I'd already had the answer last week. So I, like, y'all, I literally am like squealing because I'm like, they don't even know I got this answer.
You're prepared.
I was prepared and didn't even know it, you know. So, and I love that they did that because it's a non-traditional approach to trying to hire someone. They're trying to see not only if I'm a good fit, but are they a good fit?
And do you remember your answer?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. So
what was it? I got the paraphrased version. No, you didn't tell me.
So he told me about the job in the company. And so he goes, so, okay. And y'all, mind you, this was a pre-screening. So this was going to see if I would even go for an interview, like if they would call me back for an interview. Anyway, I told him that after I lost the last job, or like, after that job loss, I deleted myself everywhere. The same thing I just said, similar to what I said. I said, I deleted myself everywhere. And I said, when y'all see me, I'm going to be on Oprah's book club list. And he started laughing. And I was like, but you know, I realized that I was wrong. Like, I had it all wrong. I forgot my intention. My intention was longevity. The same thing that I've said here. I'm not trying to be redundant. My intention was longevity. I want to be taken seriously in the publishing language literature arena. And I thought at that time when I deleted myself from everywhere that I was being brave, but I was really just scared.
And shutting down.
Yeah. And this is what I said. I was really just scared. And now I know that. And it makes sense for me to have this job right now because I've remembered my intention and I'm ready to do the work and I want to be on a team. And, you know, it's just time. And he thought it was a great answer.
And at this point, they already planned on hiring you. Mikey. But it's really nice. I'm pretty sure that was it. Why are you sighing?
Because we don't know that.
I knew. And once you start working, you can outright ask. I love asking after the fact. Like, so at what point during the interview did y'all know that I was going to work here?
So, I love you. I really appreciate how hype you are about this.
I'm just saying. You were so qualified. You were a perfect fit.
I mean, yeah.
You've been doing this shit. It's just funny. I just thought it was funny.
So, he thought it was a great answer. Mm-hmm. And this whole time during this whole interview process, I haven't felt like I'm performing. I haven't felt like I'm being anybody but myself.
Those are
and
signs.
I've never had an interview like that except with one person, and that was with Yarber Peoples when I was a college advisor.
I think I should interject.
Okay.
Everyone knows that it is common before an interview to practice,
mm-hmm.
to rehearse,
to
recite. Google questions.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
I didn't do none of that.
Talk to yourself to... Otherwise, you're unprepared.
Yeah.
And you fucked yourself out of a job, right? Like, that's the way of doing it.
Yeah.
You gotta research the company, do a deep dive into maybe your interviewers if you have time to do it.
No.
Learn the company and...
And I like that they did that work for me. He was like, I'm gonna tell you about the company. Mm-hmm. Because you're Googling it, probably. You know, it ain't no point. Because that ain't even what I'm trying to do. I'm gonna tell you, and then you answer this question.
Imagine going out for a job, and it's literally just you talking to the person, and they trying to, like, really fill your skills out. And not, like, just test you on what you Googled
right.
the week before.
And so I really just appreciated that whole thing. And then he said if I had any questions. Then, y'all, this time around, all my work experience has prepared me for this. I had a list of questions. And so I asked him if he was interested in retaining employees. And if so, how? Things that I should ask, things that you should know. And, you know, cause I'm like, I'm not trying to work somewhere that hates their employees and making their lives miserable and all these things. I need to know. I asked where he saw the company next year. What was the goal? I asked questions that I really want to know because I'm gonna be here. Cause I also told God, you know, the job that I get, I'm gonna sit here for a minute. I'm gonna sit here because part of doing the work is sitting in a space and being disciplined enough to do that work.
Yeah.
And so I needed to get a job that I could stand to sit at.
And I think that's a personal choice that different people take on. Some people can like job hop.
No.
Some people can go from place to place, but we are about stability, like in our marriage, in everything that we just look for what makes sense and something that is going to like last and work for us. And I think that is obviously something that like stuck out to you.
Yeah.
It was like, it just made it even more of a good fit.
Yeah.
Like, do y'all actually plan on keeping me around? Have y'all been around long enough? Is HR stealing from...
You know, like, I'm serious. Like, questions I need answers. So, anyway, it was 15 minutes. Like he said, it would be. Then I got an email back saying that they wanted me to come in for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
I came in, and it was great. It was just me and him. And then he had someone from the team, the team that I would be on, come in and ask me questions. But I just enjoyed...
Your future... supervisor, manager?
I don't know. The team is shuffling. So her or another person, maybe my supervisor.
Okay.
But she's still like part of the team.
Got you. But she heard about you from the interview before and she wanted to come meet you because she knew what was up.
And she had her own little book of questions. And I just loved how thorough they are. This is a publishing / library services reference company. And so a lot of the clients...
All of those words were nerdy.
Y'all, these are my people, okay? A lot of their clients are publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do work for the publishers. So that's content management, typesetting, research.
Yes, content management.
I'm so excited.
I am proud of you.
Thank you. So yeah, so he asked me a whole bunch of questions. She asked me a whole bunch of questions. And it just was nice. Like, I can't explain it. So...
Then you met the team.
That was the next. So the last interview was the group interview and a skills test. Mm-hmm. And so, y'all, this one's the one that I was like, okay, wait. Because he told me I would hear back in a few days. I heard back the next day. And I was like, wait, you want me to come in? Oh, Monday? Huh? Okay. Okay. Well, God, fine. We just gonna be moving.
This was in the course of about 11 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So Monday was my group interview. That's where I met the team. Mm-hmm. And that was probably my most, I really like the team. So first of all, y'all, this team looks nothing like me. If that makes, like, nothing like me. And so at first that can be, first for me, that was a little, not intimidating, daunting. It was jarring because at my last traditional job, we're all around the same age. I was the only black one by the time it came down to it, but.
I have to interject again.
Okay.
At your last job. When you first started, you recognized about 7 problems day one. And you came home and you told me them.
I did.
First thing was, our manager's a little young. She's actually younger than some of the people on the thing. Some people have a problem with that. But maybe not. Like, you weren't saying that because she's younger, she was incompetent. Just that it's a little different.
I was just surprised by...
That did prove to later be an issue.
There were so many things that was wrong. By the second week there at my last job, I knew that it wasn't for me.
Team dynamics were a little off. You noticed that the black people were a little quiet.
Well, yeah, because it was like the black people would talk to me and I didn't realize this was a thing till I was on Twitter a few months ago when they were talking about let's share some crazy things that happened in corporate. And somebody shared when the black people talk to you, but when they get around the white people, they stop talking to you. I didn't realize that's what it was. Y'all know I'm overcoming the this is me, something's wrong with me thing. But I would talk to this dude because he was training me. He'd tell me all these funny stories and tell me about the restaurant and all this stuff. And so we get around our boss or any other white people and I'd be like, hey, is this the restaurant you were talking about? And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you saying? Like, y'all, it made me feel like I was fucking crazy. I was like, am I imagining conversations that we're having?
Yes, you are.
He would act like he had never spoken to me before.
Nope.
And a black girl didn't speak either.
He was like, I'm sorry to this man.
They both quit. And by the time I left, they was already gone. They had already been gone for like months. And
because
so,
they had already planned on leaving when you walked through the door.
That was really strange. So I was surprised that this team was so different. Just based off visual, phenotypic differences. Mm. And I was like, oh no. I literally said, God, what are you trying to teach me? You know, then I had my group interview and I was like, oh, I get it. These people are so damn cool and nerdy. We just nerded out. So the group interview, they just asked me questions again and we ended up talking about podcasts and y'all, like, it was, I can't explain it. It was so much fun. They are such nerds. Like, we're talking about the capital I and internet, Chicago style had it mm-hmm. that way a few years ago, but this year is back to the lowercase I and this podcast
shit
called,
that you would
like,
actually find interesting, which is
right
weird. Just to provide a parallel again, one of the issues or things that I brought up to you when I was looking for work was I need to learn while I do it.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be in a space where this is something that I could continue because I do like it.
Yeah.
But it has to actually become a part of who I am.
Right.
In order for me to be successful.
Exactly.
Because this is new.
Mm-hmm.
You said the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, but more so, I actually need to like learn from people.
Yeah.
You said you needed to be around people who could actually like also teach you something.
Yeah.
I don't think you learn much.
And
from
they're
your
learners.
Last job.
Like they're all, yeah. And I didn't. And they asked one of the questions that I answered really well. I didn't realize I answered well till the end of the interview. They had asked me, where do I learn best? Like, what environment do I feel the best when I'm learning?
And Randy nerdy ass.
I said the library. Yeah, we used to live next door to a library. Mikey, was I there all the time or not?
You were.
Loved it.
It was weird.
I loved it. I said
because
the library.
It's a library. It's
I said things. I love walking through the aisles and running my hands through the Wi-Fi. Books. I love sitting at the reference tables.
The computers are the same ones from O2.
And then my second place was one-on-one time with Drew.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I feel like I learned the most, these two places. I didn't realize I answered that right until the end of the interview. And one of the guys were like, when you said the library, I was like, you're one of our people because this is what working here feels like working in the library. Like, I was like, these are my people. So anyway, it was a great group interview, but then I had a skills test. And that was what I was really stressed about because there was no real way to prep for the skills test. I had no idea. I had asked how to prep. And they thought it was a good question, and I didn't get.
And they gave you no answer.
And they gave me no
same
answer.
Shit. I got to just to find out. Like, find really out great, after the fact.
That's a really great question. There will be some Excel stuff, y'all. This skills test, first part I had to proofread and edit. I had to copy, edit, and proofread a paragraph. Then I had to. They linked like three articles off statistics. Like, they had statistics about like a range of stuff, and I had to make a graph in Excel explaining one of them. And then the last few questions, I had to research articles. So mm-hmm. I had to find an article where, that provided a public poll opinion about the death penalty. I had to find an opinion piece about the 2020 elections, but it had to be from a reputable source. Then I had to find.
So they actually gave you research tasks.
I had to research, and I had 1 hour. And I was like, oh, fuck, this shit is hard. And then on top of that, there were little details in the midst of the skills test. So, like, after you finish this part, save it in this folder. But they need to make, like, that I'm, they needed to see that I was detail-oriented mm-hmm. and that I could organized. Follow instructions. Mm-hmm. After you finish this, change the header to your name and the date. After you finish this, color code which article you use. Like,
5 people failed.
We don't know that. Mikey's just talking.
I do know that. You don't remember when we used to, the teacher would literally say, put your name at the top of the test.
Oh, yeah.
Like clockwork.
Or read
two
the whole
forgot
test
to,
first.
Like
and
clockwork.
You read the whole test and realize
you
get
to the
take
last
it.
One and the last question say, answer C on this question and you pass.
Right.
And
they just want to see if you follow instructions.
I hate Mr. And Smith
before,
did that shit.
And before I took the skills test, Miss Smith?
Mr.
Oh, yes, Mr. Smith did. Yes,
asshole.
He did.
It was
I was
a history
like,
test.
We had a Miss Smith? Yes, he did. And Waller.
Waller did do it.
All the
I
time.
Paid attention to that one.
Waller did it all the time.
I was studying for Mr. Smith test. I was like, nah, I'm going to go. I don't need to read through. I'm going to just answer.
So
I had the answers.
Before I started the skills test, she mm-hmm. told me, listen, I made this very hard on purpose. Don't spend your time trying to be perfect. Just finish it.
And
I said,
you finished?
Okay. And I finished it. Okay. With 3 minutes to spare. And so when I came and get her, she was like, do you need help? I was like, no, I'm done. I just didn't know if you wanted me to sit back there to 12:10. Mm. She goes, oh, no.
Shit it on them.
I just want to know.
I didn't hear that detail the first time. Shit it on the competition. Oh, no, I'm finished. I was sitting there for an additional 12 minutes. I was picking through my nails, but then I realized that I should probably turn this in because I don't want you guys to think that I would just waste company time. So
it
would
was
you like
so
me to
great.
Clock out early?
So then she tells her the director wants to talk to me, the one who interviewed me at first. And I say, okay, I go to his office and he asked me if I were to get the position, when could I start? I said, immediately. He goes, okay, well, the start date is the 22nd. Were you to get it? Y'all, I've been out in the game so fucking long. I was like, is this normal to get the start
no,
date
it's not
for
normal.
A job? That
you also
you
don't talk to the director after an interview.
Oh, I haven't done this, Mike. I haven't been on an interview in almost 3 years mm-hmm. and I haven't had a job in almost 3 years,
so
a year or 2 years.
If you listened to the last episode or the one before that, you would have heard me give my wife a fight or flight about her remembering her worth as a black woman.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain to Randy how she had a job and how I knew she had a job, but she wasn't listening.
I was really stressed about the skills test.
She was
y'all,
really stressed.
Because it was really hard. Like, it wasn't like, oh, just Google this article. Like, no, they, like, I had to find certain, like, it was.
What I'm saying is, as difficult as it was, you finished.
I did.
You finished and you did that shit when you weren't supposed to have finished. You were supposed to get through maybe a bulk of some of the things, not all of the things. And you were tripping. You was absolutely tripping.
I was. And that was a part where I started to struggle and I started to relapse, I call it, into old, unlessened Randy.
You forgot, Randy, like, Randy. You forgot all the lessons of the
of last, this season.
Yeah,
of this last 3 years. Yeah, because what I realized was the skills test was triggering for me, and I don't use that lightly. Like, it really was one, because I really like this team, mm-hmm. and I was stressing because, and I know that, like, it may sound like a typical Randy thing. Or Randy got so attached, y'all. Like, I'm telling you, this was God led. I said, okay, God, what? LinkedIn, this job, fine. I like this team, and I was so nervous about disappointing them and like them, like they're like, oh, she's great in person and in this interview, but like her skill says, like I was stressing.
But beyond that, you were also afraid to admit to yourself that you like this team. Like, you kept saying, yeah, I like this team, but I don't know if I'm gonna, like, just say the sentence and stop.
Yeah. I mean, the team is so quirky and so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And already, like, I'm different than when before I had the interview. Like, I already know more.
People who have been through trauma, and we are aware of this, have to do things or do things to shield themselves from future trauma, even if it's not, like, healthy.
Yeah.
So you would say, I like this, and you would say something else to try to make it seem like if it don't work out, then I didn't like it all the way, you know? Like, I didn't give it 100%, like, so you could, like, back out and still save something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I kept pushing you to just say that you like the team. Say that you like the job.
And he did.
Like,
and I did. I just felt very exposed, because it also highlighted to me that, y'all, anybody who's lost a job or either been let go or laid off or anything, whether you got a severance or not, unemployment or not, it's embarrassing. At least for me, it was. Mm-hmm. I hated having to call you. I had just told you I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, what is happening? Like, my life literally felt like it was falling apart. I was so ashamed that I had endured all this suffering just to be let go for no reason. Like, and to this day, I have nothing to stew over about what it was, because all I got was nothing.
Do you remember when I called you when we was in college, and I was like, I was coming home, not college, we graduated already.
Oh, we were living together. Oh,
and I was working downtown. I was like, and I called you.
You quit. Like, Randy, I got
let go.
I thought you resigned.
I resigned so that they wouldn't have. Yeah, it was like, so you're going to, it was a forced resignation.
Yeah.
Because a whole bunch of other stuff was happening, but they needed, like, scapegoat, essentially.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, I was employee of the month last month.
Yeah.
Nigga, I was Santa a couple months before. Like, how do I call and explain this to you?
Yeah, but I hated that anyway. I was like, bring your ass
home. Yeah,
come
but
home.
You know. But
and
we
so
know
Mikey
where
was,
we
like,
was
similar. Come home. Just come home. Just come home. Because I was pregnant, he was like, look, come home. So anyway, all of that, and then I realized, after passing the skills test, in a sense, and being hired, because I got hired, we had this episode, but I was hired, that I was like, oh, I finally had to admit that what really was a problem at this job was race related, which we all knew. But it was really difficult for me to say, because I thought that I was beyond that, not beyond experiencing racism at work. But I had done 4 years at a predominantly white school. I thought I had mastered whiteness, you know, and like maneuvering white supremacy and we talk about that a lot. And then like the irrational. I thought that I was playing the game well, but y'all, like I was not.
No, you weren't playing. You thought you was playing the game well?
I mean, towards the end, I realized I was not. I was hyper visible, and the miscarriage made me even more visible. And it didn't help that the other black people there had quit. And so,
which made your blackness just a little bit darker than
right
what it was anyway.
On top of that, I was so sad. I was doing the work, but I wasn't like playing the game, attending these office parties and these stupid ass barbecues and this dumb shit. Like, I couldn't do it. I was like, I gotta get home.
You didn't meet them at the brewery? Mm.
I did.
You left early.
Mm. With my sister, yes. Anyway, so I realized that, and everybody had been telling me that. But anyway, so I realized that, like, I just felt very exposed. I realized I never really processed losing that job, because we had shit to do. I was pregnant. I was trying to stay pregnant. I was worried about being negative. So I was like, okay, just gotta, like, keep your head down, keep your podcast running, keep this baby. You know, so now I was in a position where someone's asking me to do a skills test. And when you're let go, it feels like you're let go because of merit. It felt like I was let go because of merit. It felt like I was let go because I wasn't doing my job well. But after 16 months and I'm doing this new skills test, obviously I'm doing something right, or you wouldn't have called me back.
Well, and again, you know, in order for a job to let you go, they still have to, like, rationalize it.
Yeah.
So it was like, hey, well, you didn't perform well in these areas, and here's why. You didn't perform well in these areas because I said you didn't perform well in this area because I needed to, like, let you go.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really do it based off of your actual work, because
I didn't get that.
You did the work.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it based off of the fact that you're black because that's racist. I can't actually say that out loud. I can, however, be like, eh, she didn't really perform to the standards. She's new. We just got bought out. This is a really good excuse.
Yeah.
Let's offer you a severance. Yeah. And you can sign something and just disappear quietly.
Yeah. So.
But fuck all that. My baby got a job.
I do. Any other questions today before we get on to what this means about the podcast?
Okay, so I had a couple of questions for Randy. A little mini interview in the midst of this conversation. Gotcha. It's just going to be a long episode. Okay, what it is. They get content this month. All right.
It's okay.
Mrs. Chapman, after almost a year and a half out of traditional 9-to-5 work and with a new baby, how do you plan to take care of yourself in this new season?
That's a really good question. I'm going to start with getting clothes. Is that what you mean? Or you mean something deep?
Both.
I'm going to start with getting some clothes. Okay. All I have is maternity clothes, y'all. Maternity jeans that I've been wearing since I've been pregnant and since I had the baby and all that. Maternity
shirts. And because you're not pregnant, you won't be wearing maternity clothes.
But that's all I have. Gotcha. Like I can't fit the clothes that I had before I got pregnant because I still ain't, you know, lost that weight yet. But also, I don't have any clothes. And so my first step is the dress code is business casual. I got to take care of myself. I have to get some clothes that fit, that make me feel great, and that aren't maternity, you know?
You were upstairs with my mom, and I was like, when I came, she saw me, she was like, you look good. And I was like, look, I just wanted to like get dressed up today, because when you look better, you feel better.
This
like,
is true.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And when you look better, you feel better.
Right.
And because now we can actually afford basics. Like, I don't know what people thought, but like, a nigga was down to like 5 boxers and 4 beaters, like, that don't have holes.
It was really hard out here, and I've just been recycling the same few maternity jeans, same few shirts.
I think Drew's seen your entire wardrobe.
I mean, yeah. Drew got more clothes.
So you're going to take care of yourself by investing in
myself.
Your style.
I have to. I'm also about to, I'm not trying to approach it as like lose his baby weight, but I am starting to like myself. And Drew is moving. We gotta go. Like, we gotta keep up with this baby, you know? And I'm tired of being. At this point,
I don't think that we're falling back, but I could see how it could be a problem.
And I know that when we were our fittest, and when I was my fittest, I had so much energy. I could do the work.
I could have ran laps around this baby 5 years ago.
I used to be so strong, y'all. And after you get pregnant and after you have a baby, I've been out of the game for so long. Like, my abs aren't, I didn't even never have abs, but I'm so used to, I took for granted how strong my core was. Something as simple as being able to plank for 5 minutes, you know, or like something that just came easily to me, something I didn't even like to do, you know, like to do a burpee without feeling like I'm about to throw up, you know, just, I want to feel better and I want to feel strong again. And I feel like getting back into a routine of work, having to get clothes that fit, I can finally like start incorporating. When I get some structure to my life, I can start incorporating a regimen, you know? And also, Drew's a girl. Drew's a girl watching her mom. And that's just what it is. And I need her to know, you know, to pick up healthy habits and to not be obsessive and neurotic in an unhealthy way about her body and food like I have been in the past. And so those are really my two main goals.
Investing in your clothes and your style and health. Actively creating a routine.
Yes. And also my last one is just learning. I'm going to learn so much here just about based off my job description. I'm going to have to do so much. And I'm trying to also increase my visibility in Patreon. You really are going to get a post about this very soon. But as a writer, I need to be out here more. I haven't written for someone else in so long. A lot of my old stuff pops up if you Google me. A lot of my old blogs and stuff. But like, I need to be recent and current. And so those are my three things. That's how I need to just prioritize Randy in that sense so that I can pour into the podcast. And you, of course, and Drew in group. Because he ain't getting a lot of love lately. But yeah, okay.
Thank you, Mrs. Chapman. That was a great answer. Mrs. Chapman, how do you plan to find balance between your marriage, work, and motherhood?
Well, I've done the marriage and work thing before. This baby is what's different.
That was,
I don't know. Women have been doing it for years, for centuries. So I think we're just going to have to work together, to be quite honest, which I honestly believe that you know already. You've already started doing things to like show that you know this. I'm going to need some help. because we know that I'm all about Drew and I'm all about you. And sometimes it'd be like, Randy, when's your shower last? You know, and that's not cute. So I think I'm gonna need some help. And obviously you're gonna pick up a lot of the things, not a lot, but you're gonna like start back picking up things with the podcast, like you have the minis you edit now and the bonus episodes I think we agreed on. You upload to Patreon. So like there are things that you're gonna start back doing now that you're also not working nights. Mm-hmm. And have a little bit more traditional
hours. It's really only two nights versus 7 nights a week. I don't have to work during the day. Anyway.
Yeah. And you can be home if we could just get a space for you. And you like working from home. So
it's nice.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to need help. I don't know. I'm going to do my best because I care about all of it, but I'm also ready to be back to work.
So you plan on bringing your partner into that part of the process.
Yes.
And figuring that out together.
Yes.
Is your answer.
Yes.
To that question.
Yes.
Got you.
Okay.
Okay. Mrs. Chapman. What are three things that you're really looking forward to in this new line of work?
I'm really looking forward to all the research.
Okay.
And the random facts and things I'm about to learn.
Okay.
That's really exciting to me. I'm looking forward to the act of going into a building and working. Now, my last job, we had work from home options, and I realized I'm not a work from home person.
Those were not the very most productive days for you.
No. Work from home is hard. You thrive in that. I do not.
But I also would distract you.
Right. Sometimes. And my baby. And,
it was
know,
mad Netflix. It was other, you know,
it was a lot. And on top of that, like for instance, I prefer working out in the gym. I love a crowded gym over working out at home.
Same.
Like I need to be in a mental space of like where, you know what I mean? Like I just need to be in that space.
Actually being in a physical workspace.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to being in a physical workspace. Like leaving, listening to a podcast on the way to work, going inside. Being on a team, I'm really looking forward to that. And the third thing I'm looking forward to is how my writing is going to improve, because this is a publishing library reference company. This is all about language and literature and grammar. And I'm really excited to see how I strengthen my skills being in a space where I constantly have to write well, speak well, not in terms of like formally, you know, but like I have to be in a space where I'm constantly reading and being informed. And knowing my grammar skills, because if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm-hmm. And that is the case for English, you know, and just language in general. And so I'm really excited to be in a space of learning. I really am.
I like that.
Thank you.
I do. This is my last one.
Okay.
All right. What is one key thing that you hope to gain from this new experience?
Am I being redundant? I feel like that.
No. The other one, what are three things that you're looking forward to just in general?
Mm-hmm.
But what is one key thing that you look forward to taking away from it?
Not experience?
What you just want to experience.
Like this job?
Yes,
or
this job. What's one thing that you want to take from it? Or this process. What's one lesson here that you don't want to forget?
What I don't want to forget.
Let's go with that.
Okay. I don't want to forget. Oh, there's so much. I don't want to forget. What I don't want to forget is how excited I am. And I was, and what led me to that excitement. And it was all this suffering that we had done in the past with work and how people normalize, just do the work and go to work and be miserable and make your money. You millennials are so, whatever. Like, you do not have to suffer. Yeah, there are going to be hard days and bad days. And I'm sure it's not going to be perfect. And just talking through the group interview, I know it's some craziness that's going to happen. But like, you also don't have to be miserable. And I hope I never forget that I don't have to be miserable. I do not have to suffer at work. And it is possible to thrive and to take care of myself and to be able to take care of my family at the same time. Like, I don't have to be miserable at work. And so being out of work for this long and all that heartache really showed me that. And I hope I never forget that I can really only apply to jobs I want to apply to and that I'm qualified for. You know, I don't got to go send out 10 applications a day. Why? If I already know. Then I know.
For why?
So yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ma'am, I just thought that it was important to put that part out there.
No, I appreciate it.
It's common for us to like go through stuff and be in it when we're in it, but then forget the lesson, forget the takeaways, because time passes.
Yeah.
We were watching Umbrella.
Mary Poppins. Returns.
And she was like, the adults always forget.
Yeah. I do not want to forget
in
this.
It, and it's magical and it's nice. No, of course, why would I ever forget this really great thing?
Yeah.
And then you start living again, and time has passed, and you life forgot. Is hard. Yes.
Like, I forgot my intention.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, I'm trying to write one book. No, the goal was to write a million. Mm. I need to be out here. You know?
But along the way, you got hung up on the one.
Yeah.
And you thought that this was it. And yeah. when things weren't looking well or all the time for, you know, for it, you thought this was it.
Yeah. Like, oh, I must not be any good. This must not be the dream, the
goal.
Which
is not the case. And no. to everybody out there listening, do not forget.
Your intention. Remember yes. what your intention is. What is your intention? What is it?
Because I never forgot my intention through our process. And I'm happy today.
Yeah.
And I that's get why my time with my girls. And yeah. my girls is getting the stuff that they want. It's just, it's nice.
And that's why I know we talked about this briefly. And me and Mike talked about this off the mic. But that's why that 3-star don't bother me. Like, I know, like, first of all, in the grand scheme of things, it's very small. Like, it's a fucking star. Like, ratings matter in terms of, like, brand deals, whatever, I guess. But we had an intention for starting this podcast, and it was to stay together, period. Stay married, yeah. connect to other people,
hopefully help other people stay married too.
That was it. And so, like,
and I'm noticing that with time passing, one, because of our indies and we are putting like our personal social media stuff out there,
yeah,
I got a request. I've gotten requests recently from people, married people.
Yeah.
And by the way, can y'all please DM me so I know that you're a real person so I can like add you back? I don't want you to think that I'm just like taking your follow and not following you back. but like real people are affected by what it is that we say or do and yeah. find value in that. And those are just the motherfuckers that I'm talking to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's period. So, okay. Thanks, babe. I really appreciate you asking those questions. So what this means for the podcast, y'all. So if you are on our Patreon or if you've been toying with the idea of joining our Patreon, you know that right now, maybe you don't know, but right now our Patreon stresses that, you know, I'm writing full time. Mikey's doing a coding program. We need help. You know, life don't care about this podcast, but now our goals are changing.
Everything is changing.
We are in the space where we are in repair. Obviously, y'all, yes, this job pays. Yes, this is a steady check. Mikey's working. He has a steady check. But we have so much to repair. I'm not even going to lie to y'all. It might take another, like...
just a quick little, year. 65.
Yeah, another year. It may take a solid year to really get us back. But for now...
To get us beyond...
Like, to get us... Yeah. To get right, it's gonna take about a year because we're in the spirit of repairing right now. So, but still, our goals are changing. So right now, our main podcast goals, especially when it concerns Patreon and that funding, we want to only use Patreon for podcast stuff first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Right now, Patreon pays bills. We want to use it for podcast stuff, including podcast bills. But they aren't that much. Game nights and date nights. That is what we want to do.
And that's what we've been talking about
since we started. And that is just money. It's always just been money. And we just cannot put out no crazy ass event. And then y'all come back taking pictures, post. I can't do it.
We're really bad about not putting out bullshit.
We can't.
Which is why sometimes some stuff will get postponed. Sometimes, like, I would rather give you something good than to just give it to you.
That's why we haven't created a YouTube channel yet, because we're still trying to figure out how we're going to do that. Because
I don't want to figure it out while giving you
piss poor shit. Like, we can at least have a plan.
Yes.
So anyway, so Patreon only for podcasts,
game nights, mm-hmm. date nights.
And we want to start using our Patreon kind of like how Humans of New York uses their Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
They fund the people that they see, that they meet out in the world. And the feedback that we hear all the time when people write in is that y'all understand, y'all going through the same thing, y'all mother-in-law's, you know, helping with formula, y'all are living with somebody too. We're all the same. And so we want to start using our Patreon for gifts, bills, family, food, help, essentially just giving back.
I'm talking like bills.
For real bills. Because it is a shame that we are all suffering and struggling. And not in terms of like, it's your fault, but more just like, this is just the country we live in, where we are in our lives. And we really want, it is on our hearts to start using this funding for helping people.
Helping people and connecting with people.
Yeah. And giving you a load off, because we were shown a lot of grace during this season.
Mm-hmm.
People helped us out. Y'all helped us out. Nikki gave me a thank you letter. She was like, listen, here's a template. I had rearranged it for how I've already been talking to these people when mm-hmm. I interview, but it was like,
And I never want to mix names, but someone sent Drew clothes.
Yeah, Brittany.
That she's worn, because them shits were fire, by the way.
Yes. 0 to 3 months. That's all she was in. Because we have nothing. Like, just, Amani sent Cetaphil. Like, just, like, y'all just.
I've had men reach out to me in DM clothes. And offer to send me some money to help out during the project. Like, it's different. It felt really good. Like, I this was recent. Like, but I told him, it was like, you know, like, I this is something that we have to deal with. I have to push through. But just to be offered is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's necessary, one, because, I don't know, I think as married millennials, we are already a community. As millennials, we are a community, and we all know we need to help each other through this shit, because life is hard enough. So giving back is just one of our main goals. And now that we have the space to breathe.
Yeah. And we're starting to repair. We can start doing that little by little. But that is ultimately what's going to be the future goal of Patreon. And so when you join, and our shop, we forgot to put the shop.
Oh, yeah, the shop too.
The shop is like, y'all, we've been
that's
working.
Coming next year. Y'all
been
not like
working.
That. Yep.
That and game night / date nights are coming next year. I'm claiming it.
Mikey's gonna be
claiming
a fun
it.
Time.
Yeah. The shop, we've been working on that. So,
but ultimately, still extra content, still early access, everything there. We're just going to do more.
Yeah. So those goals are changing, and we'll be updating that soon. So y'all,
we
not
got a comment
like,
a couple weeks ago that I wanted to highlight, and I should have wrote it down. And hopefully it wasn't Ashley, because she would have just been mad if I don't remember her name. But somebody had commented, like, I see these Patreon notifications. Like,
it was Susie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susie.
It was Susie.
Like, yes, the notifications are coming. We are trying to make sure we're being consistent about everything. And we
honoring
get
your funding. Like, y'all.
Because that's the point.
I don't understand. Sometimes that Patreon is all we like. y'all don't understand. God. You feeding mouths over here.
So here's the thing. Randy's dad. Randy would always say about her dad that he just can't hold water. Like, that's like they family saying.
He can't hold
water.
So they
don't tell him nothing in advance.
Don't tell him shit.
They don't tell him shit about family functions, Christmas, or like gifts that somebody put. Nothing like that.
Nothing.
Because he'll ruin it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to learn that the older I get,
the more you can't hold water.
It's getting harder for me to want to.
Yeah.
Patreon, just a heads up. Great things coming. Thank y'all for everything.
What are you talking? Don't even say
I'm
that.
I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just saying I'm really looking
I'm
forward
so
to what's coming. I'm excited. So I am excited.
Yeah. So we're really, so the goal is like repair and give back, period. So yeah. So that's the episode, y'all. Mikey, thank you for like.
Your
yeah.
time.
Thank you.
Your time.
I'm really excited.
Y'all. I love watching you, Sean.
I'm really excited. My start date is soon. And we're going to figure out this podcast stuff. Thankfully, we go on a podcast break
exactly
in November,
that's
so we can get some time. Yeah, we get some time to figure
really
out
get
that
into
out.
The groove.
But that's what we've been doing, y'all. That's why it's been so quiet on our Instagram and social media, because I've been on interviews. Mikey's been working, y'all. It's been grunt work.
Drew been sick.
Yeah, she's been sick all week. Then we find out she's allergic to her medicine, y'all. Ugh, this poor girl. Ugh.
But mommy is the focus today.
Yeah.
Randy did exactly what she was supposed to do. She delivered. She shattered on her competition.
Mikey.
She destroyed everyone else. And she
and
is worthy. You are Thor.
Thank you. Are you the god of hammers?
No, you are not.
I am
You're
not the god of hammers.
No,
I'm the god of thunder.
Exactly. You don't need the hammer.
I don't.
Because you always have the thunder. Just
yes. So, yeah. I'm really happy. And I'm just going to let myself be happy, because it's been a long time. I have joy. Not just happy, but like, I'm genuinely excited. That's why I kept stressing to them. This is so exciting to me. When you want me to start? I can come right now. Look, my husband's still home. I'm with my desk. Like, I'm ready. So, yeah. Thank you. All right.
Engagement, love.
Do y'all remember your intention? What is your intention for your relationship? For your marriage? What is your intention for your career? Are you following that? Have you forgotten what your goal was?
I will add on to that. Are you feeling unfulfilled in the work that you do? Are you feeling trapped? Have you settled?
Have you settled?
Are you doing work that aligns with your purpose, or just what's happening with your, or that aligns with your situation?
Are you suffering?
Obviously, I would never encourage anybody to just like leave a job. I was going to die selling pitches.
Like, no, he used to work at the Ferris wheel
or
here.
The aquarium, my nigga. Like, I would have. I was gonna be somebody manager.
He was.
That was the goal.
Years.
Just keep
No,
like
Mike.
An idiot, like yeah. a fucking idiot. Anyway,
making $10 an hour.
I would never encourage you to do that. However, I do see possibilities in trying to find that thing that you're supposed to be looking for. I remember there were people who would apply for jobs while they was on the clock. Yeah. I thought it was weird.
I used to do that.
But now I think I was stupid for not doing those same things.
Yeah.
Alicia started working at Apple and then she left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, oh, like you was applying. Like you were looking for something. So ultimately what I'm trying to say is, for my piece of this engagement, is to put yourself out there. Have you submitted an application to something else that you want to do? Have you tried to like reach for a goal or something that you wanted to do that you are qualified for?
Should I say the position?
Go ahead. Title? What's your title? What's your title, love?
I would be a content development assistant.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm really excited.
My baby out here developing content.
I'm really excited.
I'm proud of you.
I'm really excited. And I hope these people don't turn out to be crazy, but I honestly don't think they will.
Well, they're going to find out that you was crazy, and then it's just going to be like, oh, we really were meant for each other.
I'm really excited. So, yeah.
I love you, babe.
I love you. All right, Patreon. So we've already done a Patreon spiel, kind of.
Little spiel, yeah.
But basically, our Patreon features additional content, and that won't change. My blog posts about being a wife, mom, woman, writer, and a content development assistant. Woo! Mikey's Daddy's Journals, which he has one coming soon. Additional mini and bonus episodes. And early access to what's going on with our family. So Patreon knew before everybody did that Drew was sick and all that type of stuff. They knew about the job. They knew about the interview, the first interview, and then the second interview afterwards. And yeah, they knew about Mikey's stuff as well.
Yes, ma'am.
He started working before we did the episode about it.
So if you are nosy like the rest of our Patreon family and you want to be informed ahead of time, do that.
Join our Patreon. We also give unedited episodes. They love the baby in the background, the long pauses, cuss each other out before we cut that out.
I think our Patreon family is imbalanced. Like we are.
They love it. So we do unedited episodes as well as exclusive pictures or early access pictures. Production notes, so they knew what this episode was already about in our notes. And yeah, if that sounds like something you're into, you can join for as little as $3 a month. And if you can't commit to a monthly membership, you can always send us gift cards at Amazon. Through our email at blackmillmare@gmail.com.
Again, that's blackmillmare@gmail.com.
And our Patreon is patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
Thank you, babe. All right.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. What you got for us tonight?
Oh, it's my fight?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. It says right there, Randy.
Oh, my thing is scrolling. We're sharing a Google Doc, and so we be fighting in here. Okay. Fight or flight. My fight, Lord Jesus. You need to pay your parking tickets. Today, one of your friends got his car towed.
God rest his soul. He's not dead. I'm sorry. Dead.
He got his car towed.
God rest his wallet.
Because he been parking in a deck at work and ain't paid, plus parking tickets. Mikey has got a few warnings before they gave him a ticket. I think he got one.
I got warnings on both of our cars and a couple tickets on mine. But like,
Mikey, you need to.
I park backwards because they're not supposed to get out the car to scan the plate.
Mike.
This morning, I swear to God, I parked next to him. I parked next to his car.
He texts me, so-and-so's getting his car towed. I'm next to him. I call him like, what the fuck does that mean? Is it you next to him on the.
My second text didn't send yet.
Are you next to him on the tow? What you saying?
So. The way that this parking deck is set up is if you pull in forward, the little car, when they drive by, they can scan your plates. There is one nigga on their team, and I'm pretty sure this is the only nigga that's been ticketing me, that will get out and go, because I park backwards. It's not the easiest lot to park backwards in, but I will back into any spot because I do this shit. They went around to the back of my car and gave me a ticket.
Listen to me.
I'm not going to risk it anymore.
Listen to me.
Yes, ma'am.
And I say this with everything in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot afford your habit.
What habit?
We cannot afford your habit.
What are you talking about?
Of tickets and money.
I don't have a habit of tickets and money.
If this car got towed today,
we talked about that too.
We couldn't afford to pay the parking tickets or to get it untowed.
That's why
your
I had
baby's
to move it.
Car seat is
was
in
the back seat.
That car is our livelihood.
I also had to have paid the tickets in order for them to release items from
this
inside
is what
the
I'm
car.
Saying. Paul Chapman.
No, don't do that.
I'm so serious.
Okay.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
I already planned to stop it. And I'm going to pay them back because I never know when I'm going to have to park there again.
And we're going to get a monthly parking. I don't care if we're going to get a monthly. I told you, I call marriage. Like Beth said, and This Is Us. I'm putting my foot down.
That is your hand.
Mikey, I can't afford it. You can't afford it. We can't afford it. Stop it.
Well, to be honest.
Stop it. Don't wink at me. I'm not paying for your parking tickets.
With this new job. You know what I'm saying? You could front a nigga.
No, I'm not fronting a nigga for putting himself in this position. Stop it. I'm not. If you call me, I'm going to tell you something right now. Before you call me about the car getting towed, don't.
I told him when he was going down there. I was like, look, to be honest with you, I'm going to have to lie to my wife today. I was like,
I'm going to
have him call you. I want you to hear him tell you. On the elevator on the way there, I was like, boy, my car was next to yours. Did you see my car? He's like, what color was it? I was like, nigga, it's white. What you mean? You seen my car 5 times. I was like, nah, let's go. So we went down there. I was like, look, no bullshit. I'm lying to my wife today. I can't even tell her the shit, right? Like, if the car gone, I'm going to have to steal the shit back.
Don't come home.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Until you get the car back and find some money.
Got you.
That is my fight.
In the future, you know, I'm sure the money will be available to us.
You're going to have to stay gone. It's
about to hit up a couple of the drug dealers.
You're going to have to do whatever you have to do.
Let me get a quick little foe.
Mike.
It's Saturday. I could have made a quick little 400.
Listen to me.
Maybe 3 hours.
Listen to me.
Huh?
I just want to be very clear. Okay.
Yes.
That's my fight. What are you doing? Are you fighting or flighting?
I was going to run in a strip club and just grab money off the floor and then run out.
You do whatever you got to do. Coming home. Don't come back.
The plans that run through my head.
Come back.
I was like, I'm going to pay the $10 cover charge.
Because you're funny.
But I'm going to leave with $300.
But don't come back.
I'm going to do that same shit at a different strip club.
And her car seat and everything else in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the tickets paid. So you need to pay them.
But to make me feel better, I was going to also get a dance. So can you ever pay the stripper hoe with 15 that you picked up from the floor? Because that's different.
Because them hood rats did that at my bachelorette party. They were picking up the money they had already thrown. I said, y'all trifling. And I'm going to go to the back because I don't want to explain to my husband that I'm seeing penis. So goodbye. But you need to stop picking up this money and throwing it back at him because it's already on the floor.
But that means maybe they didn't see them bills. Maybe she didn't see the specific one. It flipped really nicely. I make it do a spiral. I got four of them.
You do.
I
haven't been to the strip club with Mike, but I have seen him spiral a dollar.
I can make that bitch
and
flip.
And it does fly. Listen, I don't care about none of that. You figure it out. Do whatever you gotta do.
Picking up soggy dollars.
You better John Q it. I don't know who you got to hold hostage, but that car should not be getting towed. Will not. And you can't come
John
home.
John Q was so fucked up. Exactly what happened. She started crying and was like, do something.
Do something. Make it work. I'm not even playing. So.
You want me to hold the towing company hostage?
PDA.
Answer me this. How long have you had that mattress? Because it's looking even lumpier than my lockdown love handles. And while those might be more cuddly, a lumpy mattress is doing nothing for your comfort levels or your sleep. So whatever body you're rocking, put it on a Nectar mattress. And right now you can save over $500 on any queen or king bundle. That includes a Nectar mattress, foundation, mattress protector, cooling pillows, and sheet set, as well as our 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com/save500 and get hugged.
PDA.
So I started laughing about it though, real quick, because I also realized that your car isn't at home. So like you wouldn't even be able to get me to the towing place.
Mike.
It's a whole bunch of stuff just went through my head. Anyway, yes, PDA, I go first.
Yes.
This is what I've been waiting for. This moment. I ain't gonna do too much because I have to save part of it for when we make love.
Oh, okay. I can't.
I'm serious, but basically.
Are you gonna cry?
No, I'm not gonna cry. I just think that it's very important that I be clear with you right now.
Okay.
I am proud of you.
Thank you.
I am. You set a goal. You said you was gonna do something, and you did it. You said that I inspired you to do something, which made me feel really, really great. But then you like went through with it, which made me feel really, really agree. You are deserving of a lot of things, including everything that you want and hope to gain from this new job and this work. I hope that it pushes your career forward. I hope that you get all the information that you can, make all the connections that you can. I see nothing but success for you ahead. Success with your book, success with this job, success with connections that you might make, just all of it. Like, I'm just very proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you because you're one step closer to everything that you worked for, that you wanted. Just one more step closer. And I love you for that.
Thank you.
And I cannot wait to retire at 40. And we just live off your money.
Thank you.
It's going to be great. I'm proud of you, babe. You worked really hard for this. You had your anxiety moments where you were annoying and you forgot who you were.
I did.
You
I
forgot
relapsed.
What you do.
Yeah, I do this.
You lost sight of what the fuck you see when you look in the mirror. Like, you had your moments, but you are and have always been worthy of whatever it is that you want.
Thank you.
And you killed that shit.
I
and
did.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I cannot wait to give you congratulations head.
Because we haven't done that. Yeah, it's been crazy over here.
This little girl didn't go digging.
She been so sick, y'all. Mikey, stop.
Oh, you gonna send her sick.
Mikey, you... Okay. Your penis is just talking. Your child is like...
that was my face.
So, my PDA.
Yes.
So, we had a conversation a few days ago. It's actually been ongoing. We're still adjusting to you being home.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, sad to say, but it's real. Like, we had got accustomed to you not being here. Because we had to. You had to be out. I had to be here. Drew, you know. And Drew just was so happy, you know. She's so happy. But it's been an adjustment. It's like, okay, Randy. It's just been an adjustment. So we had a conversation about what does that look like? Does it look like me telling you what to do? Does it look like you asking me what to do? Does it look like you just figuring it out? And that has caused some frustrations with both of us. With each other, individually, whole bunch of shit. However, my PDA is, I felt like our most recent conversation, you did what you said you was going to do. You was like, okay, fine. Shut the fuck up. I got it. You didn't say that, but you said it. I saw you.
I said it.
You didn't say it out loud.
Oh.
But you definitely said it in your head, and oh. I was mad, but I let it go, because you work better when you're mad anyway. You know? My mom used to say that. Oh, you mad? You clean better when you mad. Go ahead.
That would have pissed me
just
off.
Just not slamming that door. She was just like crazy. Oh.
I love your mom.
She was awful. I mean, in a great way, but she used to be like, are you really mad? No. Go clean your room.
I've heard her say that.
Like, she don't care. So that's where I was. I was like, oh, you're mad. Cool. You can be mad. I think you deserve that. This is upsetting, you know? But you've been really doing just great, Mike. Like, earlier today or yesterday, I was putting on her ones and you, like, came and helped me. And so it was like this thing, and Drew was just, like, happy because, you know, her daddy's big. He's just picking her up.
It's just mad hands.
Flipping her
like,
everywhere. Yeah. She's just like, ah, you know. And, you know, all her bottles are washed every night. So when I wake up to feed her, or when we get up in the morning, I can just like grab it. You can just grab it. It's just great. You're like doing what I asked you to. But not even just what I asked you to. What I didn't ask you to. That is my PDA. You're just being a dad. And you're tapping into like what that means for you. And it's really great to watch. And it's holding me accountable because it's like, okay, Randy, yeah, you're used to doing this by yourself all the time. But like, you're not a single parent. Your husband can do this with you, for you, without you. Like,
yeah.
Like the other day, you stay home. I went to grab the food because usually you're the one who grabbed the food. Today, I went to the store to get the Benadryl. You stay with her. Like, usually it's different. I ain't know where none of the shit is. But because you do all the store runs, I'm calling you and you like, Randy, it's on this aisle. What you mean? I'm on this aisle. No, it's another aisle. Like, this. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm learning how to do the things that you are doing. And you're like, you get in time with Drew. So I just really appreciate you being frustrated, communicating with me that you're frustrated, and still just doing it. It makes me feel like being married isn't a scam. And it makes me feel like we can make it work.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you. Sir, I'm telling you, I watched you. I was like, okay. You really did lead, Mike. And I know that, like, for you, the leading didn't look the way you've always wanted to lead.
Nah, because we were still broke.
Because we were still broke. But you led. You led in bravery. You did the work. Mike, you did the work. You drove Lyft for 3 years. Did you want to? Absolutely not. when you really need a reprieve, stop blinking at me. When you need a reprieve,
yeah, we need a fucking YouTube channel.
We do. When you need a reprieve, when you need it, like, we needed the money. You need diapers. You the only one making money. You gotta go drive. You need gas. I need gas. Like, you did it. And that really showed me, that taught me so much about discipline. And some things you gotta eat, you know? But it also showed me, like, at the same time, you simultaneously work to get yourself out of that situation so you could be happy or in a space where you weren't suffering, you know? And, you know, while I did suffer in my own way, watching you suffer kind of limited how much I did, because I only applied to one job. I was like, yeah, I don't got a job left because Mikey did already. I'm going to just Mike do this in one job.
So hopefully you ain't got to go through that.
Right.
Damn, hoes.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I mean.
I took too much
from
Jay-Z.
Like, you really did lead that way, Mike, and show me about how to be brave, how to be disciplined, how to remember my attention. And so, yeah.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
You're welcome. I'm proud of you. I'm really excited for you to get back to the world.
Me, too.
That's another big thing about this. I didn't know where to throw that in there, but that's an important part. Being around adults consistently, talking to new people, meeting new people, making friends again.
Yeah.
It's different. And then reconnecting with some people who you may have missed and liked. Shout out my cousin Brandon. Again, I miss you. Love you, bro.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Yeah. Like it's a whole new world again for you.
Like I haven't necessarily driven.
No. You gotta fix your car up.
You know? Like
get you a real quick tune up. I gotta take it to the car wash again.
Yeah. Clean it.
So I didn't tell you, when I went down to the parking deck to get my car. This is the last thing. I swear to God, I'm gonna wrap it up. We were talking, me and him, about whether or not I should move it because they had put a ticket on it. And
another ticket?
There was a ticket. I told you this before.
No,
there was
not a ticket today.
On the car. I said that I had a ticket. Anyway, so there was a ticket on it.
I'm gonna look back through that text.
Randy,
go ahead.
And so me and him were talking. He was like, "Well, since they ticketed already, they're not gonna tow it." I said, "Boy, it's Saturday. It looked busy as hell around here, and they gave you a ticket."
And then they still
they ticketed him today and told yes, Randy. I was like, nah, I can't risk this shit, B. I get in my car and I drive around to the exit and all I see is two ATO trucks.
Right.
Just circling the fucking lot.
So are they looking on the street too, or is it just for the deck?
It's for that parking zone. So there's like parking at the top level of the deck and in the bottom of the deck.
Okay.
But everybody parks at the bottom because we all thought ain't no truck coming down because it's such a tight fit.
It is.
And because it's been getting away with it for almost a damn year.
I mean, yeah. You started in February.
Nah, so I parked really far away. And I wore Tim's today.
And that's unsafe. And you are a black man.
Well,
it's
the middle of the day.
But when you work nights and you go in, I know.
I get it. Fine. Very disgusting. Part that I didn't. My car got bird shit all over it, basically. So I had to wash my car. I was letting you know. Me and Drew going to do a car wash.
Let me tell you something. You stay wherever you are until you get that car back. If they know your car don't come, you're going to have to. Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always.
Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace. If you dig in what I'm saying, we could go deeper. I dig it. You dig it. I dig it. You dig it. I dug it. We're good soil. I hope you love it. I love it. I got no upper, but none above it. I focus on what the funk is. Don't know what's so fierce. I'm sipping talented.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
I'm Ned Fulmer.
And I'm Ariel.
We're from The Try Guys, and we have a new podcast called Baby Steps. It's an irreverent parenting podcast, because parenting is not perfect.
We just had a newborn, baby Finn.
I got pooped on. Ariel has pink eye.
I don't have pink eye.
We talk to some experts. We even bring you 4 a.m. thoughts from our garden.
Oh my gosh, it's literally 4 a.m.
Just to go back here, I thought I got poop in my eye.
Yeah.
And that causes pink eye.
Parenting is a mess. We're a mess. You're a mess. Join us every Sunday. Listen to Baby Steps on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.